Well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. Let's pray, pray, pray. I'm going to pray for our country. And let's pray that God will protect it from degeneration, from disaster, from disease, from war, that we can have a spirit of unity in this country, a spirit of healing, that demonic spirit of division, which is manifested not only in our streets and in our politics, but within the family, can be exercised, if you will. That peace can reign and God can be, the center of all of our lives. Well, pray, pray, pray. Prayer changes things. I know it. I feel it. I see it. I've lived it. I've experienced it. I know you probably share the same. I want to pray for my colleague, Bob. Bob Bennis today. I've been with him 18 years probably here with this network. I actually was a broadcaster for another network. And Bob and I, believe it or not, worked at the same place. So I've known him probably about 20 years. So I want to thank Bob for all that he's done and pray for him and all that looms in his future. Also, I want to pray for the parents of a three-year-old boy, Harry. He was found missing in Lowell, Massachusetts. They found him, and he died, sadly. This precious child now is in the arms of our Lord. But let's pray for the family. What a horrible loss to think about a child dying at such a young age. Also, a person said, could you pray for my coworker? Was in an accident. His riding mower flipped, and he ended up in a lake. He's in the hospital right now. Thank you all for your prayers. Marie will marshal the troops, and we'll all pray. And one final petition here. I've been diagnosed, this person says, with cancer a few weeks ago, lymph nodes on the neck. Could you add my petition to the chaplet? I pray that I recover fully from this cancer, that I'm healed 100%. I pray that cancer is not spread, that the doctor can deal with it successfully, and I pray that the doctors and nurses who are treating me will do so with compassion and skill. But above all, I pray that my family and I are giving the strength to face this with perfect resignation. Thank you, and God bless you. That's a tough road to walk, isn't it? And I love the way she ended that prayer, the way they ended that prayer. They just want to resign themselves, whatever God's will is. I mean, we all are on a journey towards our eternal home. We all are going to be with God one day. We're created to live forever. And maybe cancer sometimes, maybe a cross that will sanctify us, purify us, test our faith, allow us to grow in holiness, might be the doorway to eternal life. I never stop praying for answers and cures and for healings. I mean, Christ resurrected Lazarus. Right? So many resurrection stories in the scriptures. We've seen them in the lives of the saints. God can certainly bring the dead back to life. He can certainly eradicate cancer if that's what you're carrying. So we'll pray for his mercy and his healing first, but always couple your prayer with resignation to the will of God. Maggie's going to be praying with me today, and she'll be taking your prayer intentions on Twitter. So if you can't get through on the phone lines, by the way, if you're new to the show, and I know that we have a lot of new listeners all the time here, and I'm so happy you found the program. Every day at this hour, set your smartphone or your watch or your computer to this. We pray the chaplet of the Divine Mercy. I'll give you the phone number to get in. It's 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Try to take as many calls as I can. Maggie, when those phone lines light up, she goes to our Twitter account, and a lot of people have been tweeting their intentions. And you can tweet us. You can follow us at Drew Mariani Show, at Drew Mariani Show. That's the show page. My personal page is at Drew Mariani. Feel free to follow me there, too. And one final plug. I just want to remind you, I'm going to the Holy Land in October, and I am taking petitions with me. So you can not only give them to us through the means I just mentioned, but if you go to relevantradio.com/Drew, and you scroll past the podcast, you scroll down, you'll see stuff about the pilgrimage. Please leave me your prayer intentions. If I get too many, I'll bring them over on a floppy. But normally we print these all out and we carry them around with us. We put them on the altar during Mass. And so we'll see. A lot of people have been responding with their prayer intentions, and I'm honored to intercede for you in the Holy Land, the very place where Christ works so many of these miracles. Maggie, anything you want to pray for today?
Yeah, thanks, Drew. I'd like to lift up my mom. She's got a bad kidney infection, I guess. So they're hoping that it doesn't lead to kidney stones. So I want to pray for healing for her.
All right, we'll certainly lift that up. That's painful. Pray for anyone who's going through that as well. And I guess let me share one. Well, I'll share answered prayers tomorrow. Let's pray right now. Let's pray for you, and we'll just begin. And by the way, thank you for sending those answered prayers in. I enjoy sharing them on the air. They inspire me. They you know, build my own faith. And if God answers a prayer through this Chaplet of Divine Mercy, as you've been praying with me, or you wrote to us, or you called in, it's drew@relevantradio.com. That's the show email, drew@relevantradio.com. And the byline, put answered prayer, and then tell me your story. I will share more of these answered prayers. I thank everyone for taking the time to come back. But they also show me how God is working. I mean, it's really quite amazing. The type of miracles that we're hearing, tumor shrinking, and just absolute financial miracles and all sorts of things happening. God is great, and he is merciful. And we will pray now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. I want to pray for Kay Burke, too. She just came to mind. Kay is a very wonderful woman who suffers deeply. She's been very kind to Relevant Radio, allowing us to keep this chaplet broadcasting. And I just want to know, Kay, that we've been praying for you, and we're grateful for your mercy. Debbie's praying in Chicago. Debbie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I found out earlier today that one of my cousins was found dead in her home by her nephew, who was her caretaker, and he lived with her. So I would just like to ask for prayers for her soul, and for all of the members of her family that are deceased, and all people that die like that alone, and without having the blessings of a priest and prayer. So that's my intention.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Debbie. And my condolences to you and to all who suffered today, who mourn. And I'm with you. I mean, it's troubling when loved ones die without the sacraments. But you know, I just, my worldview is so different. I know hell's real, and I know it exists, and I don't diminish it. As Faustina glimpsed it, she wrote about it. Many of the saints did. I just think God loves us so much, you know. And I believe, you know, by our choice, He gave us our free will. That's a great demonstration of His love. But in these moments, you know, we have to have faith in the power of this prayer and in prayer for our loved ones who died by themselves or died tragically or died in an accident or took their lives. And let's pray for them now that God's mercy met them in that final moment. You know, we're created to live forever. It's such an incredible thought. It really is. I just pray that we choose, that you choose God, that when you draw your final breath, that our merciful Savior meets you. That's my prayer. And Lord, I ask that you hear that. That you give us the grace in those final moments to be aware of eternal consequences and to choose you. Grant us the grace that we need to grow in holiness. And again, I give you those who've gone before us in purgatory, those who need our prayers now, those who you're calling home, and those who've gone before us. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Let's see who's up next. Delia is listening to us in Farmington, New Mexico. Hi, Delia.
Hey, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. My actually is a prayer of thanksgiving. Yesterday, you prayed for the healings of the eyes and anybody struggling with retinal and issues. And a couple weeks ago, the eye doctors thought my 4-year-old granddaughter had a retinal tumor. And so we were getting ready to leave Albuquerque and head to Denver to see a specialist. And my daughter got the phone call yesterday that just looking at the imaging and stuff, they're thinking it might be a birth defect, and they're going to keep a close eye on it. So yesterday when you offered that prayer for all the healing, I just mentioned Maya's little name, and we've all been praying, so it's a prayer of thanksgiving. So it was meant to be yesterday.
I love it. I mean, I love when you claim that. Yeah, Lord, that's me. I'm in that group, and you ask for his mercy. So many answered prayers. I'm so grateful. We'll continue to pray, all right? We will continue to pray for you, your beautiful family. Lord, again, I give you the eyes, and I ask for that beautiful 4-year-old granddaughter that you just amaze doctors. Give her clarity of vision and you know, protect her in the days ahead and guide her, fill her with your mercy. Let her fulfill the great mission you've created her for. But I pray for Delia, and I pray in thanksgiving for all the answered prayers, big and small, the ones that are now unfolding, the ones that we don't see or recognize, for the way that you are at work in our life. And again, I give you vision, those with the deteriorating vision. I give you the eyes, those who are visually challenged, those who've lost their sight. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Maggie is monitoring Twitter, as we promised.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people are now using that as a way to get those intentions in here. What's coming in? What can we pray for?
Well, first, I want to lift up an intention our colleague Eliu brought to me this morning. He was down in downtown Chicago earlier, and he was approached by a young woman. Her name was Amber. She asked him for some alcohol, and she had track marks all over her arm. He said it just really haunted him, and he wanted to lift her up and also to pray for anyone in the throes of addiction or homelessness. Katie wrote to us, and she said, "Our church's youth group is scheduled to go on a bus to Catholic Heart Work Camp mission trip in Montana this July. The bus company, though, just canceled on us due to driver shortages, and the Milwaukee Archdiocese will not let us travel in vans. Please pray for a miracle to get us there for this great experience. The youth have been missing out on this due to COVID and haven't gone since 2019.
Wow.
Yeah. Helen wrote to us and she said, "For my grandchildren to contact their father, his heart is broken. There hasn't been contact. Prayers for my daughter who has migraines and my granddaughter who has POTS. Healing for the entire family." Marilyn wrote to us and said, "Please pray for my sisters, Paulette and Lucy, for their relationship. We had a family meeting on Sunday regarding alone on the house. They almost got into a fight. Paulette needs some financial help. This loan is too high for her, she says. And Cindy, this one really struck me. She said, please pray for our recent converts who have left behind family and friends when they've joined the Catholic faith. Pray that we are able to welcome them like the family that they need and brush away their sorrow with our love.
Wow, some heavy intentions, huh, out there? A lot of really important ones. Well, let's lift them up. We'll include Rosa. She's praying with us in Brea, California. Rosa, thanks for waiting, and thanks for joining us as well.
Hello.
Hi, Rosa.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just want to ask everyone to please pray for my neighbor, Bud. His wife passed yesterday. They've been married for over 70 years. He's 96. And he's so broken. So broken. And he said he wants to be with her no matter what. And I just have the feeling that he wants to go with her in the wrong way.
Okay.
I want everyone to pray for him, please.
Keep an eye on him, okay? I when people are mourning and they suffered loss and they say things like that, I mean, it just may be an expression of you know, their sadness, but, you know, make sure that people check in on him regularly. You don't want something to happen in a negative way. But we'll pray for those who mourn. I want to pray for you, Rosa, and for all of, you know, your intentions. I want to pray for this husband who is so despondent. And if you've lost somebody and you are mourning their loss, and today it seems this theme about eternity keeps coming up in the chaplet. It makes me think of what St. Faustina wrote in her diary. She had a vision on November 27th, 1936, just 2 years before God would be calling her home. She would die in August of 38, or October of 38. She writes in her diary, she says, you know, today I was in heaven in spirit. And she said, I saw its inconceivable beauty, the happiness that awaits us after death. She says, I saw how all creatures give ceaseless praise and glory to God. I saw how great is the happiness of God, which spreads to all of his creatures, making them happy. And then all the glory and praise which springs from the happiness returns to its source. And they enter into the depths of God, contemplating the inner life of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, whom we'll never comprehend or fathom. She said, this source of happiness is unchanging in its essence. And this is what I love. She says, yet it's always new. It's always gushing forth happiness for all of its creatures. Now I understand what St. Paul said. She says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of the man who, you know, of what God has prepared for those who love him. It's one of these great mysteries of the afterlife. We'll never comprehend or fathom God's mercy, and we will be in what those who are in the presence of God will be in, this unchanging, yet ever new, if you will. It's a mystery, a place of incredible happiness and fulfillment and love gushing forth from God. It's incredible. I could talk more about it, but Faustina just wrote beautifully about what awaits us in the next life. So if you've lost someone, you one day will be reunited with them. I'm convinced of that, you know, and just pray. Let's pray for those who've gone before us. I lift up the souls in purgatory. Lord, I pray for those who mourn. I thank you for your mercy. You know, God's mercy, Faustina said, is the astonishment of the angels, and it's the wonder of the saints. You know, it's one of these things we'll never comprehend in the afterlife. We'll contemplate it forever. So, Lord, I trust in your mercy. And I bring to you now everyone who is crying out to you with their needs, those temporal needs they have, those financial needs, those health problems, those relationship problems, you know, those issues of anxiety and depression, you know, the cancer, the heart problems, the physical. But Lord, I also give you the spiritual, and I ask for a superabundance of grace today so that we may draw closer to you on this side of the veil, so we may be with you forever in the next. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Hi, Rose is praying with us in California. Rose, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. So I'm thanking the Lord for each one of my children, for the gift of motherhood, for the end of abortion, and for blessings upon my children, protection, the homeless, and also, of course, for the end of abortion. And I need miracles, financial miracles, housing miracles, and educational miracles for my children and me. Thank you so much.
You got it. I'm grateful for your call, and I love the way she wrapped that up. Thank you all. This is about us. We're a family, right? A spiritual family. People throw the word family around very lightly sometimes on television or radio, but I really consider you and me to be spiritually united. There's something very intimate about prayer, you know, and to have Rose call up and thank you for praying for her. I know she's praying for you, and we pray for each other. I think that's why there's so many miracles that take place during this hour. I think God just loves this. I think his heart opens. I think his mercy flows. I think many miracles are happening right now. And Lord, I just lift up every one of those intentions. I pray for our children, especially those away from the faith. I pray for those looking for housing and employment. I pray for those struggling financially. And Lord, I just give you again the hearts of all united with me as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
See if I can sneak a couple calls in this final decade. Gwen is praying in Eagan, Minnesota. Hi, Gwen.
Hi, Drew. I don't know this family, but my 13-year-old grandson went to school with a little boy the same age that died of cancer this morning, and I just need to ask that everybody pray for this poor family. I also lost a son 2.5 years ago tomorrow, but I know the pain that this family is feeling, and he was only 13 years old, so...
That's
so
sad.
I'd like to ask for everybody's prayers.
Well, I'm glad you got through, Gwen. We will certainly pray. Again, I just see the current that flows through the show where we deal with loss and mourning today and the reality of the next life. And, Lord, I can't imagine losing a child, let alone one that's only 13 years of age. I remember when I was a young boy, I was in eighth grade, and a girl I went to school with died of leukemia and how devastated her family was. Lord, I ask for mercy. We don't understand why you take certain souls home. I pray for those who you'll call home today. I pray for those who right now are suffering the loss of their loved ones and are mourning again. I ask for consolation today, for healing, for your mercy. Shannon in Modesto, let's add you to this final decade as well. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I was just calling in coincidentally in regards to a lot of family who's passed away. My uncle just passed away. My mom 4 years ago. My grandmother. I just have a heavy heart. I just needed some strength, and I tuned in today on the day that you were just lots of prayers coming in for those that have passed before us, and I just wanted to be added to that list of prayers because it's been a difficult road for me, and I'm just needing of all the strength right now and prayers for
there's no coincidence
without our love.
Amen. There's no coincidence in God. I think you were meant to get through here today. And I was at church a couple hours ago, and I was praying. And again, I always ask God for this hour. And it just I marvel at how the Holy Spirit sometimes works in this hour. Jenny's in Chandler, Arizona. I see her sister passed away on Saturday as well. Let me sneak her in here, too. It seems to be the intention of the day. Jenny, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. And yes, indeed, I'm praying for my sister, Evelia. She passed away. However, I am very thankful that a Catholic priest was with her to bless her. And that afternoon, she passed away. And I thank you for all you do and all the prayers. And it looks like today was the theme of praying for all the souls that they've been gone home.
Let's pray that those souls that we're praying for in this final decade here will be released into paradise. We'll have many powerful intercessors for us. And Lord, I ask you to hear that prayer. I'll take one final call here, and then we'll wrap up the chapel. Mark is praying in Dubuque, Iowa.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'd like to pray for healing for my wife's foot. She's having surgery next Thursday in Rochester, Minnesota, at St. Mary's Hospital. I'd also like to pray for... A friend who is suffering from severe depression.
Okay.
And so those are the main ones.
Yeah. Well, great intentions. We'll pray for your wife. I know you must be nervous about that as well. We'll pray for your peace. But let's pray for those who have depression and anxiety. Lord, I ask for the healing of the body and of the soul and of the mind and of the heart. I just ask those graces flow today. Again, we pray for those who've gone before us. And I thank you for your mercy. You know our needs. You know our hearts. You know what's best for us. Give us the grace to trust and submit ourselves to your holy will. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us. And increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do me a favor. Please send me those answered prayers. I know God's working miracles. There are many unfolding in your future. It's drew@relevantradio.com. Please send us your intentions too. And join me again at this very hour tomorrow, and we'll pray. But stay with me. There's a lot more to come right after this.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter @DrewMarianiShow.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
I ended up falling into the wrong crowd.
Have you been away from the faith for a long time?
I've started listening to Relevant Radio.
You're welcome here.
I believe God is forming you.
The Drew Mariani Show is live and here for you now.
God can use you wherever you are.
On Relevant Radio.
Stumbling across the channels and found this one. All I right. decided to call.
It's like the prize, sunrise, waiting on the other side of the darkness.
I did not grow up with a denomination, but as I got older, I really gravitated towards something about the tradition. And I'm not exactly sure what it is, but it draws me.
So good to hang out with you. Thank you for allowing me just to be part of your afternoon. If you enjoy the program, if you enjoy our chaplet, if you like the look I give you at life, then please tell others about it. It's one of the best ways to, to spread the good news, if you will, to help educate, inform, and draw people to, I think, a greater truth. That's what I try to do here every day. And just tell one other person. It'd be great. A family member, a friend, a coworker. Say, hey, you ought to tune in. And tell them the time. Tell them the show. Tell them the network. Tell them what you like. And who knows how their life could possibly be changed. But I'm grateful for you, too. I really am. And I'm grateful to be able to talk about how God's grace is at work. In a moment or two, Matthew Giambrone is going to be stopping by. And I want to get his I'm going to share his story, really. It's a great story. It went from digital guru to being human with St. Joseph's help. And this is a great story. I look, if you've got great stories, share them with me. Pass them along, too. Maybe we'll bring them to the air. One of the great questions, one of the biggest, I think, philosophical questions you can ask is what does it mean to be human, right? How would you answer? What does it mean to be human? Now, how you answer it, whether you answer it consciously or subconsciously, is going to determine how you live your life. I mean, as I'm a Catholic, you may be Catholic. For us as Catholics, we know we're created in the image and the likeness of God, that we're called to love Him, to love one another as He loves us. So that kind of gives me a framework for how I live my life. It should give you a framework how you live yours. But those who don't have the benefit of that revelation in their lives, they're stuck trying to grow up with this concept of what being human means. They don't have that basic understanding of God being created in His image. So they try to figure out through all the distorted ways that we see on display in our culture today. And that's what Satan does, right? He loves to distort. He loves to contaminate. He loves to blur. And that's why there's so much confusion going on right now. It's more than the sexual perversion that we see in the culture. One of the biggest ways right now that I think, and this is a neutral instrument, yet it is a powerful instrument for really distortion, and that's our electronic media. You heard my conversation yesterday with Dr. Gene Twenge about how social media is distorting how kids relate to each other, right? And if you missed that, it's up right now on our podcast. It's hour one of yesterday's show. You really should listen to it, especially if you've got kids, they've got smartphones or tablets. Get plugged into it. Right now, most of our electronic usage, through your cell phone, laptop, tablet, you can disconnect easily from those because there are all kinds of other things you can grab your attention. But Facebook's developing this metaverse where virtual reality will become your only reality. And the headsets you wear can participate in it in a way which will block your vision off from reality. You'll find yourself in an alternate reality. That's what Mark Zuckerberg and his colleagues think is the next step in so-called human evolution. But when it becomes, the predominant mode of electronic communication, breaking from that is going to require, I think, an extraordinary grace, a superhuman strength. And Matt Giambrone was spending his life building systems like that. He was also trying to live, a more human life at home. The disconnect, it was hard. It was a serious difficulty in his life, and it took St. Joseph's intercession to help him make a definitive change. And every Wednesday, I try to give you this opportunity to see how God's grace is at work. We do this segment called Touched by Grace. You can find more about his story, too. If you want to follow him or learn more about it, it's hearthandfield.com. I'll give you that address again. But let me welcome Matthew to the program. Good to have you with me today, Matthew. Thanks for your story. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Drew. Thanks for having me.
I love your background. Fascinating. And I love your story. You're a systems architect. For those who may not know what you did or what that's all about, explain that. I know you had your own company, too, in Arizona. But what is a system architect?
So I started my career as a programmer. And a systems architect is kind of a level or two up from that. The point at which you're a systems architect, you're kind of looking at large-scale, complex digital systems, different pieces of software, how they're interacting with each other, moving data around. So you're sort of looking at complexity in the digital world, and you're trying to create these sorts of systems to make them robust and sustainable and all those kinds of things. So that was my job. And yeah, I started a software company and we were doing those kind of projects at a fairly large scale for different organizations and building software of that sort.
So you had your own company in Arizona and you were seeing that, you know, what we think of as really dependable is actually pretty fragile. I think that is an interesting revelation to me too. You know, what were you seeing that most of us really don't see? Fill us in.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, Drew, just because you're working in that world and you kind of have a bit of a glimpse behind the curtain. And I remember one particular day early in my career, I was involved in doing some work on one of the major financial networks that moves money around the United States. I just remember sitting there and kind of realizing how this thing works, and my jaw dropped.
Wow.
I just was blown away at how fragile it was, how incredibly hackable it was. I thought to myself, if I were a less scrupulous person, it might take me half an hour to move money into my bank account instead of where it's supposed to go. So I just started to see these things and just realize, you know, people think, you got the little padlock in the corner of your browser, everything's safe. No, things are a little dicey. So yeah, I would see a bit of the fragility of all of this tech that we rely on.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And you're right about scrupulosity. I mean, you imagine you had a nice offshore bank account somewhere and you go there and you're retired. A lot of this is a facade. I mean, I know you were working to construct this whole electronic facade, but while you were doing that during the day, at nights and weekends, of course, you're with your family. You're doing things like, I guess, gardening or whatever you do, you know, real human stuff, hanging out with the family. How does it work for you with work? Like, I love what I do. You know, my work is kind of my life every day. And not only do I spend these 3 hours on the air, but outside of that, I'm diving in the news. I'm looking at different issues. I'm trying to find things that can bring truth and beauty and goodness to the lives of other people. And I've been given this great platform to do that. Here you are. You're also given a great platform that you can do a lot of good with. When you went home, did you disconnect? You leave the iPad or the laptop closed, or what happened? Did work consume you? How does it work? And what was the disconnect like from what you were doing versus family life?
Yeah, it was hard, Drew. I think over time, the two moved farther and farther apart. It was kind of like a fork in the woods, and I was trying to stay on both paths. So at work, it was high tech. It was fast paced. It was frantic, honestly, just kind of the pace of how that goes. At home, we're increasingly rebelling against it. We're feeling just this desire to disconnect from all of the sort of crazy of modern life. So we're really using less and less tech. We're unplugging from social media. They don't want to be on computers at home. At some point, we packed up, filled up a truck. We left the big city, left the concrete and the traffic, and made our way to small town America. And so home life is increasingly gardening. And my wife's a wonderful cook. And my girls are sewing dresses with their grandmother and playing in the flowers. And there's the fresh smell of freshly breaking bread and yeast floating through the home. Wow. And then I'm back at work. And I'm looking at a screen, and it's cold and it's flat, and I'm frantically working on the screen trying to create things that only exist on other screens. And it was just this really disconcerting dissonance. And as the world was getting more and more saturated with tech, and I was seeing where it was going, both at the global level, like I said, and at the personal level, what it was doing to people, what it was doing to me personally. It was really hard. It wasn't the sense of the integration that you're describing.
So what happened? What was your breaking point?
You know, there were a few of them. I remember one day I was sitting in my living room. I was in this big cushy overstuffed kind of chair, and it's a Saturday, right? So it's the weekend. It's the day I should be able to connect with all the beautiful things I'm describing. But because of that phone addiction, I had to reach into my pocket and grab it, right? And I'm checking my email, which was kind of my hook. And sure enough, there's an upsetting email from work. And I felt this sort of point of, this is too much. I'm just tired of this. So I probably did a behavioral. I probably rolled my eyes and sighed. I stand up out of the chair, and I kind of toss my phone aside, like you might toss a physical letter, an envelope that you got in the mail. Now, this works better, Drew, with an envelope than with an email, because my phone did not actually land in the big cushy chair. It landed on the floor, and it broke. And so now I'm thinking, oh boy, I'm brilliant. No long, I've not only got my day shot because of a work emergency. Now I have to go buy another phone. Now it's a, you know, whatever, $700-$800 for an iPhone. And there's sort of this light bulb moment of, wait a minute, here's another idea. How about I don't buy another smartphone? Which is kind of a, oh, can you do that? And I didn't. And so I didn't have a smartphone. And that was just, it was wonderful. It was liberating. I could suddenly kind of have this fog lift and see all these beautiful things, trees in the world, and I have all these children. It was great. But it further kind of, you know, broke me from work, because now I'm this tech expert who can't send a text message. And it was further dividing. So there were a number of things like that. But over time, it just kind of, it started to reach a boiling point. It was really hard.
Well, I'll tell you, I got to take a short pause, so stay with me. You come back, we'll get some more of the story, but you're so right. I think about the things I'm attached to, too, and I almost feel guilty when I'm not connected. You know, I was away for the past week, and I really didn't even open my laptop. I couldn't believe it. Normally, I'm always in it. But stay with me. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more. Great story. You'll hear how God's grace clearly was at work. And Matt, I want your take, too, on the new frontier that is ahead of us. I mean, this metaverse, is it simple entertainment, or is it a new universe with new moral challenges to people? So we'll look at what looms in the future, and you're going to hear great and inspiring stories. Stay with me.
The Drew Mariani Show is live now. The Drew Mariani Show, here for you on Relevant Radio.
You know, we receive over 1 million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor could support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forrester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show is on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. If you're just tuned in, taking a look at God's grace at work. And I'm speaking today with Matthew Gimbroni. He was touched by God's grace, very successful systems architect, living a life, provided a good income for the family, but had an illumination, really, and through a series of events, reached a breaking point. And he's joining us today to share his story. He's got a website. Check it out, too. It's called hearthandfield.com, and we'll fill you in on what that's all about. But Matthew, we have maybe, I don't know, 7-8 minutes left. Let's get the share the rest of your story, if you would. I know you had a breakthrough during COVID, and I know St. Joseph played a big role in your life. Fill us in. Take us through the rest of your story, how St. Joseph worked and how God worked.
Yeah, it was quite something, Drew. So I was feeling this angst, and I asked a friend to meet with me for advice. It's a guy who works at the diocese, and he works with technology, but also lives in the country, and kind of live in that more earthy kind of life. So I went to lunch with him, and I said, look, at how can I use what I know to serve God, to help create his reality instead of working against it? And I expected him to say something like, well, make this tech product for the diocese or the church or something. But instead, he looks at me and he says, Matt, here's what you should do. You should consecrate yourself to St. Joseph.
Wow.
Kind of not expecting that. blew me away a little bit, but all right, let's do that. So I begin praying for the intercession of St. Joseph the Worker to kind of guide me. And all kinds of things then just start happening, Drew. So, of course, shortly thereafter, this is 2020, COVID hits. And the world's turned upside down. And in one sense, it kind of confirms all those concerns I had about the sustainability of the supply chain, the economic system that I was looking at as a systems architect and worried about. In another sense, though, it was like a forced retreat. We're kind of cutting out the noise. We're spending more time in all of the things we really loved, the gardening, the working with the kids and all this. And then kind of those quiet moments and just really seeking St. Joseph's intercession as I'm preparing now for the consecration, I start to get these insights of maybe I'm kind of being called to do something fairly different, to try to connect with other people who are feeling these longings for real things, for the true good and the beautiful, like you were saying, for the human connection outside of all of this tech. And one day, working in the garden, just like out of the blue, I have this flash notion that I should create a journal to do this. And I just can't stop thinking about it. I kind of feel called to do this thing. And yet there's a lot of challenges to that. It's a pretty huge change from what I'm used to, what I'm praying for. I'm praying to St. Joseph. Now, the consecration is going to take place on May 1st. It's with the diocese, because the whole diocese at that time here was having a year of St. Joseph. And May 1st, I'm preparing to be consecrated with the bishop. It was over Zoom because of lockdown. That happened in the evening. The morning of May 1st, this startling, stunning, positive financial development happens within my company. Just completely unbelievable thing. After a lot of difficulties, this happens. And it's something that happened to basically allow me the time and the wherewithal to pursue for the summer there something such as trying to launch a publication to talk about these issues, to kind of give voice to the beauty of the real world of connection of unplugging. And so that's what I did. And so we have that happen on the morning of May 1st, miraculously, the evening of May 1st.
And just so people know, Matthew, that's actually the feast of St. Joseph the Worker, right?
Yes. Sorry. Yep. So that is the feast exactly of him. So on his feast day in the morning, this thing opens up that makes this all possible. In the evening, I do the consecration, the personal consecration with the bishop over Zoom. And right afterwards, my wife and I, over a candle with a rosary, we do a consecration of this new project, Hearth and Field. And we consecrate it and christen it and, consecrated to St. Joseph the Worker and to Mary. And gosh, then everything just opened up. All kinds of people start reaching out and getting involved in this whole network of authors and editors and people who are also farmers and homesteaders and all of this. And so this came out of it, I think, very much as a gift and an answer to prayers from God and St. Joseph.
And people can get connected. Hearth and Field, that's your online magazine, right?
Yes.
What will they find? How will it benefit them?
So hearthandfield.com and hearthandfield.com/subscribe. If they go to that, they can subscribe to the monthly newsletter. So this is our articulation of these truths, these timeless truths of creation as the real place that we should be, as opposed to, like you're asking about, the metaverse. And it's going to be both very practical, like how do we do things? Here's suggestions for home brewing, tips for your garden, these kinds of things, as well as philosophical, as well as reflective on the philosophy and the theology that goes all into this reconnection to real life.
You know, you talk about the metaverse too. I just want to tap into your expertise on all this. I mean, Zuckerberg's invested a lot in it. I don't know whether it will take off in the way that they envision. I mean, what do you see for the future of something like that? How people will interact? Because already we're so isolated. I mean, I saw a report. Yeah. My wife was sharing with me the other day. She says, what do you think this is the number one challenge for 20-something-year-olds right now? You know, it, that is affecting their marriage or their relationships. And I thought, oh, it's got to be pornography. She says, no, it's gaming. I mean, they're in this alternate, you know, they're in front of the screen. But, you know, with the metaverse, and I know a lot of people aren't connected to it yet, what do you see for the future of it?
It's very dangerous. I think that those addictions, they're not by accident, right? So this is, again, you kind of see behind the curtain. The tech industry studies the psychology of addiction. We get data from the casino industry. How often should the thing ding? How frequent should the reward be so that people will just get hooked? And the game, the whole thing is just designed. So when it becomes so immersive that it really starts to confuse the brain and feel like it's reality, it's dangerously addictive. It's also interesting because, you know, early studies of addiction, they studied substances that would cause addiction in lab animals. And at first they thought it's just the substance, but then they found, no, it's actually the isolation. If you put people or animals in communities, they're much less likely to get addicted. But curiously, right, this technology is both the addictive thing and the isolating thing. Mm-hmm. So you have the worst combination. So I don't think the metaverse is a very good idea. And maybe even worse is kind of the other perspective. The metaverse is kind of a screen in front of you. Yeah. Elon Musk and other folks want to put it right inside the brain. And that's
I'll have to have you back to talk more about that at some point. But I hope people will check out. If you want to subscribe to his newsletter, or if you want to just learn a little bit more, here's the website for you. It's hearthandfield.com. Hearthandfield.com. And maybe you are on that that spinning wheel right now. You're in that rat race. Maybe you have been inspired by Matthew. Might be time for some personal evaluation as well. Matthew, thank you. Good to have you here.